Good morning. I'd like to thank you all for coming to the SEC this year. Introduce our first speaker of the day, and the first insurance company of a bunch we have presenting is Tom Wilson and Steve Shebik from Allstate. Allstate, everybody knows, of course, is the on a lot of measures number two or three auto insurance company, homeowners insurance company, major national brand. Over the past couple of years, it's been a fantastic stock, and Tom, as CEO, has brought the company back from, you know, what was really a challenging 2008-9 period as a result of subprime to a, you know, to a company that's now making its sort of target margins of, you know, 12-13% ROEs, and is actually refocused on growth. And they've done a lot of really interesting things today. I've got a bunch of questions process-wise. Tom is going to start us off with a presentation, give us a sense of sort of where they're going, what's important to them. And as is sort of common course here, I'll start off with a few questions after his presentation, and we'll have someone wander through the audience and take your question cards, and so we can continue the conversation. So thank you, Tom. Thank you, Steve, for joining us.
Well, good morning. Thank you, Josh. Thank you for investing your time with us this morning. My ultimate goal is to get you to invest your money with us. So the first step along that way will be to help you understand Allstate's strategy and our proactive approach to creating shareholder value. I'll go through a few slides to set the context, and as Josh said, we'll just talk about whatever you want to talk about. So I'm joined today, Steve Shebik, our Chief Financial Officer, and Pat Mastellaro is here as well. And back, he runs our investor relations. So this is a statement that I'll be making some forward-looking statements today and referring to some non-GAAP measures, as is common in our industry. We have a tremendous amount of transparency, so if you go to our website, Talk to Investor Relations, we've got lots of different ways you can slice and dice the information we'll give you today. So Allstate is a different kind of company and a unique investment opportunity. We put people at the center of our business model and our priorities. So our purpose is to protect people from life's uncertainties and prepare them for the future. We're the largest publicly held personal lines insurer that provides most of America with a broad set of products and services under multiple brands and a variety of distribution channels. We've had very strong operating and financial results in 2013 that reflect those strengths. It also reflects a proactive approach taken to adapt to two external events that Josh mentioned in the last 6 years. The first was a dramatic increase in severe weather, which began in 2008, and then, of course, the financial market meltdown, which you all lived through in 2009, 2010. Given our success in dealing with those two storms, we're now moving from a fix-and-run set of priorities to a run-and-build set of priorities. It's really from strengthening our core business to positioning Allstate for sustainable growth. Sustainable growth, it begins, of course, with a clearly defined, differentiated business strategy. Allstate's strategy is to segment the consumer insurance market and provide unique value-added products and services to each segment. We're the only company with a presence in each segment. Personalized insurance companies or customers fall into really four distinct segments based on their desire for advice and their perception of the differences between insurance companies. And this chart shows it. So on the left-hand side of the chart are consumers that prefer to get local advice and assistance as it relates to their insurance needs. On the right-hand side are customers who feel comfortable taking care of insurance needs on their own. On the bottom half are people who value insurance and see a difference between the various brands in the market. On the top half are customers that see very little difference between insurance companies. They tend to just, you know, give me a name that I recognize and I'll be good. They tend to be a little more price sensitive. So customers in the lower left-hand segment are served by the Allstate agencies in that brand value proposition. This includes a wide range of proprietary products and over 32,000 highly engaged Allstate exclusive agencies, financial specialists, and licensed sales professionals that are in virtually every local community in America. These customers prefer to have one insurance relationship, obviously, because if you don't want to have, you don't want to have a local advice from 15 different people for your insurance needs, so you prefer one. So you like to bundle your stuff together. And then there's a lot of historical strength placed on our franchise given our location and our brand. Our business in this segment is growing again after we had to deal with the reduction in homeowners. Esurance provides a unique value proposition for customers in the lower right-hand quadrant who prefer self-service but still want the value of a branded experience. In the upper left, our customers who value local advice but are brand neutral. They're largely served by independent agencies who offer products from multiple carriers, which includes our Encompass brand. which competes in this space by focusing on its unique package policy, which is a combination of an auto and a home insurance in one bundle. Answer Financial competes in the upper right to serve the self-serve brand neutral segment and really provides Esurance a way to lower its net marketing costs for quotes that they don't close. In addition to the unique value propositions, we're leveraging the breadth of our innovative product offerings, pricing sophistication, and claims capabilities across all of these segments. For example, in the lower left-hand quadrant under the Allstate brand, we offer Your Choice Auto, Claim Satisfaction Guarantee, and our telematics offering, which is DriveWise. State Farm and Nationwide have some, but not all of these offerings. In the lower right, Esurance is rolling out proprietary homeowners policy, where Progressive and Geico sell other people's products. Our strategy enables us to compete on value, not just on price, which creates more sustainable and profitable growth for shareholders. As you know, turning a good strategy into shareholder value requires operational focus and great execution. As you can see on the right-hand side of this slide, our 2014 operating priorities are focused on building a solid core business platform. Our growth priority is now squarely focused on growing market share of both revenues and profits. The significant progress made in improving the underlying margins at homeowners is reflected in our priority to maintain our underlying combined ratio. Proactively managing investment risk and return remains a priority. And we're continuing to look at a broad way of ways, the broad way in which we do business. So starting with the customer. So we're pursuing continuous improvement, simplifying our processes, and streamlining technology to deliver faster, better, and more cost-effective service. Finally, we're building long-term growth platforms serving each customer segment and expanding our businesses such as telematics, voluntary benefits, and roadside services. The momentum we established in 2013 has continued this year. Our first quarter premium policies in force increased, and our underlying combined ratio was within our full-year outlook despite impacts from severe winter weather. The chart in the upper right of the slide highlights our property liability growth trends. Written premium and policy growth continues across all three brands where we underwrite risk. This is a result of those differentiated value propositions, strong marketing, an expansion of local agencies, and a smaller decline in Allstate brand homeowner policies. The chart in the lower right highlights the progress we've made to improve homeowner returns the past 4 years while holding the auto margin steady. You can see our homeowner underlying 12-month average combined ratio has essentially flattened out as we approach price adequacy. We've also focused on a long-term growth initiatives, leveraging our strengths and creating trends for our competitors to follow. For the customer segment served under the Allstate brand value proposition, we're now leveraging our homeowners business for competitive advantage, expanding our geographical footprint, and helping agencies spend more time on being trusted advisors. DriveWise, our telematics offering, is growing rapidly. And to support this, we're broadening our branding. Esurance is now in phase two of developing its brand by showing how it's better than other brands serving this segment. Let me show you three ads to bring to life how we're leveraging homeowners, broadening the Allstate brand, and enhancing the Esurance competitive position. So if you could, thank you.
Each year, 95% of homeowners won't have a claim. That's why Allstate Claim-Free Rewards gives you money back for every year you don't have one. And why, if you're part of the other 5%, Allstate offers Claim Rate Guard, so your rates won't go up just because of a claim.
No matter what comes your way, your home protects you. Protect it back. Allstate Home Insurance. I'm an Allstate agent.
Instead of mailing everyone my vacation photos, I'm saving a ton of time by posting them to my wall.
Ooh, I like that one.
It's so quick. It's just like my car insurance. I save 15% in just 15 minutes.
I save more than that half the time.
I'd unfriend you.
That's not how it works. That's not how any of this works.
15 minutes for a quote isn't how it works anymore. With Esurance, 7.5 minutes could save you on car insurance. Welcome to the modern world. Esurance, backed by Allstate. Click or call.
There are man-eating sharks in every ocean, but we still swim. Every second, somewhere in the world, lightning strikes. But we still play in the rain. poisonous snakes can be found in 49 of the 50 states. But we still go looking for adventure. A car can crash, a house can crumble, but we still drive and love coming home. Because I think deep down we know all the bad things that can happen in life, they can't stop us from making our lives good.
So, starting to grow homeowners after it's been shrinking for 4 or 5 years. Phase 2 of the Esurance brand, and then broadening our brand. So Esurance is also growing by adding proprietary motorcycle rental and homeowners products. That'll enhance retention, lower average acquisition costs, and increase our market share profits. Encompass is also expanding its relationships with independent agencies that serve customers who choose local advice but are brand neutral. We also have many other large, successful businesses to drive growth. Allstate Benefits is one of the largest insurance providers of voluntary workplace benefits in the United States, generating almost $1 billion of revenue in 2013. We acquired that business in 1999, and it's now 3 times the size of when we purchased it. Allstate Business Insurance provides small business and commercial auto coverage. It generated only, and I want to underline, only $500 million in net written premium in 2013, which is small relative to the ubiquitous presence of Allstate agencies. Allstate Roadside provides 24/7 roadside assistance to customers. It consists of both our Allstate Motor Club and a variety of wholesale programs providing roadside benefits for various car manufacturers, representing almost 25% of the domestic auto market. We expanded this business in 2008 by buying GE's Signature business. It also is a business where we established Allstate Good Hands Roadside, which is a service that provides pay-on-demand access to roadside services to 1.7 million members. We also have the potential to expand our product offerings provided to each of the customer segments. So Allstate represents an attractive growth opportunity for a number of reasons. We're in a very strong position given our people, capabilities, brand, and financial strength. When you invest in Allstate, you own an outstanding personal lines franchise with a competitively differentiated business strategy focused on the 4 different customer segments. We stay focused on our priorities, proactively address issues, and execute well. We have a consistently good underlying returns in our auto and homeowner lines of business. And there's a platform for sustainable growth now that we've adapted the business model to the severe weather and financial markets. This consistency and focus enables us to invest aggressively in growth while providing solid cash returns to shareholders. And while our stock has appreciated over the last couple of the years, we still traded a book value multiple that's below our long-term average, indicating that continued stock price movement upside exists. So with this context, I'll let Josh start us off. Do you want me up here, Josh, or down there?
This way we can all look at you.
Okay, I'll just stand here. Other chairs in the other way.
So if everybody has question cards, feel free to raise your hands and we'll bring them up. But So Tom, thank you. I love your guys' sort of 4-box chart because it sort of helps frame it. And I wonder if I could ask you to talk us through that from an investor's perspective. You've got 4 different disparate businesses. We talked about sort of how you're approaching them, your strategies. I wonder if you could give us some color on like how you think about sort of the relative strategic attractiveness. I mean, if a lot of people think in terms of sort of, businesses are good businesses, bad businesses, do you have a moat? What's the value? What's the key differentiator? Is it brand? Is it when you think about things like customer elasticity, where there's structural, some of these businesses have obviously very different sort of long-term growth characteristics, due to secular trends and demographics and everything else. And I think, when you really big picture, you guys are a distribution company, so helping people understand the relative, how the Allstate channel is different from an investment case from the Esurance channel, I think would be a great place to start.
Okay. As I expected, really tough question.
I'm sorry.
Let me see if, we believe that by offering people a uniquely defined value proposition, there's a price premium that you can capture by doing that. So if I offer you a commodity product, then you'll pay me a commodity price. If I offer you something that's targeted directly to you, then we believe they'll pay for that. And you see that in many businesses and industries around the world. You see it in the investing world. Some people buy index funds. Some people buy managed funds, and you can have great debates over which they are, but if you give them what they want, we believe they'll pay. And when we looked at the marketplace, we saw this is the way they drove most behavior. A lot of people just look at the distribution. So they say, well, either you're a direct company or you're an agency company. And we think it's more complicated than that because we think there are some people who really value insurance, want quality, want a brand, something they can trust, something they'll pay for. And then there are other people who say, like, I don't really care. Just, you know, give me a name. The name I recognize, I'm good. I just want the lowest price. So by segmenting the market according to the way customers think about it, we can then define our value propositions around those. There are some commonalities. The reason you want to be in all four of them, there's some commonalities across all of them. So you got to be a good pricer in all of them. You got to be able to settle claims in all of them. You have to have good marketing and technology in all of them. So there's some things you want to do in all those to leverage your scale, which is why we're in all four of them. So our traditional point of strength has been the lower left, which is those people who want somebody that's local, knows their market, knows them, maybe knows their family, and they want something that's branded. So when that market, people prefer to bundle stuff, as I mentioned, but they'll also pay a premium. So they are less price sensitive. You're within 5 points in that segment on price, people tend not to move. So that means they'll pay you something for that extra service. And we've designed our business model around that lower left in the Allstate agency channel. What we have done, where do you make money from an investor? Maybe 5 or 6 years ago, we separated the decision from serving the customer to deploying capital. So we can sell those people a wide range of products and services, but we don't have to make them all. So, for example, we used to sell variable annuities, and in 2006, we said that we didn't really like the market, we didn't like our position, so we sold that business. We've stopped selling fixed annuities because we didn't like the returns in it. So we can still sell them fixed annuities. We can sell them mutual funds. We can sell them variable annuities, but we don't have to make it all. So what we do for our investors is say we'll take care of the customers by outsourcing that stuff, selling it through our local distribution, and making sure we're managing our money well. In the Esurance segment, we used to try to serve both segments with the same brand, and you're seeing some of our competitors do that today. So in the lower left, we compete with State Farm, Nationwide, American Family, Farmers. In the lower right, we compete with GEICO and Progressive Direct. If you look at GEICO and Progressive's market share in total, let's say GEICO's at 9%, 10% of the auto business. They'd be substantially higher in the lower right, like by multiples. So they're very strong in that segment, and it makes sense because that's who they're advertising to. So we compete, we used to try to compete down there with the Allstate brand. We did that for about 10 years. We had a $700 million business. It was growing about 15% a year, but it wasn't taking share. So we bought Esurance because we wanted to have a branded offering specifically targeted towards those groups. And so that's why we're rolling out Esurance. We've started to go into phase two with advertising. We're very aggressively working to expand the business. In part, from a competitive standpoint and an investor, you want us to compete against those companies aggressively. GEICO and Progressive Direct they haven't capped out in market share in the lower right, but they're getting close. So they're starting to move to the lower left. So you'll see GEICO talking about local agencies. You'll see them talking about bundling products. They're trying to move to the lower left. So what we wanted to do is strengthen our offering in the lower left with the Allstate agencies, and then out GEICO is the way we used to call it, in the lower right. And so you can see what we're trying to do is position them in the middle so we have better defined value propositions for each. We think by being in all of those, and then the upper right is where we compete with people like Travelers, Hartford, in the independent agency segment, Progressive up there. We have much stronger, better strategies in the branded side than we do in the upper right. The upper right is more of a niche strategy, so we've said we want to just compete on share of profits up there as opposed to share of wallet at this point, given our skills and capabilities.
That's great. So big picture, Allstate brand is obviously mature. It's higher margin. It's sort of, you know, it's the anchor of your portfolio. Presumably, you know, we talked about sort of you want to grow it by bundling. You've been doing a lot of agency optimization. You know, you're probably still adding some agency locations and new staff. And then your Esurance opportunity basically is to invest sort of, you know, capital across the franchise, basically, you know, across the whole firm to try to pursue secular growth. I wonder if we talk briefly about Allstate, though. Help us get a sense you are starting to grow. A lot of that is because, you know, as you said, you stopped, you know, sort of tightening terms and conditions and driving pricing and sort of re-underwriting away homeowners. I'd love to get a sense, you know, when you think about actually what moves the needle for 80 or 90% of your business, the actual sort of agency management strategies and, you know, opportunities to cross-sell with life and voluntary benefits, you know, how much traction do you really have in sort of making, you know, getting growth into, or maybe it's adding new stores, you know, getting growth out of what's, you know, obviously sort of a mature franchise on the Allstate side, and then we can maybe talk about the opportunities in Esurance, which is very different, very different.
Okay. And I think I can build on the last comment as well. So the lower left is probably about 45% of the auto market and a larger percentage of the homeowner market. So let's just call that half. In the upper left is probably about 30%, and then the remainder is in the lower right. A lot of people think that the lower left is dying. People don't want to buy from people. The upper left is dying, and everybody wants to buy direct. That is true, but it's not true a lot. If you look at the self-serve segment, it's growing in the low single digits as a whole segment, the whole right-hand side. The left side is going down by a couple of points over the last 3-4 years. So there's a little bit of growth, but it's not like one is dying and the other is going, and so you're trying to move from one to another. Some of the reasons, I believe, why you see a shift is that the right-hand side is doing a better job on its value proposition. The left side needs to do a better job on its value proposition, what we'll work on. There's a couple of things that people automatically assume which are not true. First, that there's a huge age difference between the two, that the left side is old and the right side is young. Not true. It's a couple of years younger on the right-hand side, but not enough to make a huge difference. Example, I have a son who's 22. He's on the right-hand side. I have a daughter who's 20. She's on the left. She's got no interest in auto insurance. She's never going to spend time thinking about it. She's never going to get on the web to do it. She's going to call somebody and say, I bought a car. Give me some insurance. That's what she wants. She's happy to pay for it. My son, on the other hand, is going to scope out all the prices. He's going to figure out what to do. He's going to want to really understand it. So I think the point is it's not all just an age thing. Certainly people that are younger are more adept at using technology to do self-serve. That's one misnomer, though, is that left is old, right is young. The second is non-technology and technology. Both segments, all segments, really want to have technology. So the people in the lower left, if you have a local agent or if you have a local stockbroker or an investment manager, you want to text the person, you want to use email, you want to get folks on the web, you want to be able to click through their internet site. So it's not like the left side is Stone Age and the right side is all high tech. There is a little bit of difference. So our value proposition on the right-hand side is we will give you tools to enable you to help make yourself smarter. On the left is we'll know you and we'll help provide advice. So you have to segment that. So when you look at those trends, though, we want to be in all the segments and we want to do as good a job. We think there's plenty of room to grow in the left. So if you look at our market share in total, call it 10%. You look at our market share of the lower left, it's more than double that. Which means there's plenty of room to grow for us in the lower left. We are growing by providing better product and services, taking our agencies and turning them not to be human modems, but to be trusted advisors. So I carry around with our agencies. Anybody remember those old modem things where you like dialed in and you stuck the phone in the thing and that's how you connected to a computer? I carry one of those around that I bought on eBay, and I tell agencies, if this is what you are, you're going out of business. So if you're the person who gets on the phone, talks to our customer, gets their data, punches it into the computer, and tells them what our price is, you're going out of business. There is no room in this world for a human modem. That said, there's plenty of room for somebody who wants to give local advice, and people will pay if you give them local advice. So we're trying to shift our agencies to do that. At the same time, we think we have plenty of places to expand, particularly in the middle part of the United States. We grew up out of Sears, so we were along the coast and in the big cities. There's a whole big chunk of the heartland where we do not have the same share we have everywhere else. So we're aggressively expanding our points of presence there. So we have plenty of ways we can grow in the lower left. In the right-hand side, we can grow by expanding both geographically. So when we bought Esurance, I think it was in 32 states, Steve, or something. Now it's in 42 states. We've got homeowners in 4 states. We'll be in homeowners in about 60% of the country in terms of volume probably by the end of the year. And so we're adding proprietary products, which gives us the ability to lower those upfront marketing costs, because on the right-hand side, you spend a ton of money trying to get the customers, and then once you get them, you want to keep them, obviously. But to the extent you can sell them more things, you make more money off them.
That's great, Tom. I'll keep going with this until people have questions. Obviously, happy to keep at it. Bundling and offering more product through one set of distribution is kind of a classic response. Once you've got distribution, you want to try to leverage it. But I think it's always hard. And for whatever reason, like life insurance can't be sold by PNC people, and PNC people and life people can't sell PNC. You guys are trying to merge those two. Obviously you've sold a lot of your manufacturing capabilities on the life insurance side, but you're aggressively going down this voluntary benefits, roadside. You are selling sort of term and universal. A lot of your customers, I suspect, are underinsured or not insured on all these other dimensions, and you've got a lot of new blood that you've hired in, sort of your new populations of agents. Are you actually having success trying to get, in the weeds of actually working in this business, get people to actually buy more coverage, when you're making them sort of trusted advisors as opposed to order takers?
Yes, we're making some progress, but as always, the opportunity always looms bigger than the actuality, so we still have a lot of room to grow there. There's a lot in there. Let me separate a couple of things. First, the benefits business, 75% of it is not sold through all state agencies. It's sold through different distribution and sort of a separate business that's growing. When we bought it, none was sold through the Allstate agency. So one of the things we did is said, hey, if we buy this company, we can expand it geographically. We think it's a growing business anyway, and we can get Allstate agencies to sell it. So now about 25% of its business is sold through Allstate agencies. You're correct in saying that in terms of deploying capital, we just sold Lincoln Benefit Life, which sold life insurance and annuity products through independent agencies. Think of that in the upper left. But with just life insurance, we concluded we could not, it was getting about a 12% return, so it wasn't a disaster, but we said, we cannot dominate that segment. We're not going to really win there long term, so we're going to take $1 billion of capital off the table, reduce our interest rate risk, and then deploy the capital elsewhere. So we sold that down. We still make our own life insurance products, which are sold through the Allstate agencies. We're doing better there, but I think, Josh, it's part of the problem is we haven't really designed the products around the customer base. So what we had was, because we were in the independent agency channel, which tends to sell to mass affluent, we had designed a bunch of mass affluent products. We were trying to sell mass affluent products to the people in the lower left who buy from the Allstate brand tend not to be mass affluent people. I mean, we get our share of mass affluent, but it tends to just to be America. When you get a 10% market share, you got some of everybody. And so we were trying to sell fancy products to not so fancy people. So what we're trying to do is redesign the products and services so they meet the customer needs. They don't have as much time required to sell them so that our distribution force can make it. So we're trying to, I think it was a question of trying to push the wrong thing through the pipe as opposed to the customers do need it. They are underinsured. Our agencies have proven, whether it's selling benefits or commercial insurance, that many of them can and will sell more things. We just needed to make it easier for them.
So you need your choice auto for for term life or something like that.
Yeah. Well, I think one of the big problems in life insurance is, as a customer, you pay way too much money for the product. I mean, if you look at the economics of a life insurance policy, the first year premium goes almost all to commissions. And you're like, really? Like, it's just way too much money to have to pay get a product. So we have to figure out how can we deliver that product for a better price, still have our distribution partners make enough money because it's complicated. So we have to figure out how we do that. But I think there's good growth potential there.
Cool. So I thank you for the questions. We have a couple of good ones. Esurance, it's a logical transition. What are your goals for this business? Both on sort of combined ratio basis as well as long-term, both sort of near-term and long-term growth. And I think for context, you've been growing at about, 25-30% a year. So it's obviously going up.
Yes, yeah. Esurance is not quite twice the size it was when we bought it, but we're headed there pretty quickly. So we bought it ahead by $800 million in premium. I think we're $1.3 billion now and headed north, growing at 20% in the last year in units. The reason we paid $700 million of goodwill for Esurance was we thought we were a better owner. We were a better owner from a couple of reasons. First, by putting our brand associated with their brand, we could increase consideration and close rate. That's turned out to be true. Secondly, we have a huge claim advantage versus some of the small players. We're able to use that to lower our claim costs, and that's also been true. So economically it worked because we were just a better owner. Strategically it worked because we wanted to be in all four segments and be able to compete aggressively and force people to come to us and not try to play to all segments with one brand. In terms of its growth potential, I'm going to grow it as fast as we can grow it. We more than doubled advertising in the first quarter of this year. We probably won't stay at that level. We did it because you saw we launched the new, 7.5 minutes is the new 15 campaign. So we want to put some money behind it. When I say we're going to grow it as fast as we can, that means it's got to be economic. So we look at each group of business that we write, and we say, we spent this much money writing it. Are we going to get enough cash off it so that we're getting a good return on our capital going forward? And we are. It's not as good a return on the auto insurance business as we get in the lower left because we're growing quite rapidly. And we're having to adjust pricing as we grow. So the pricing is up a little bit in that side. So our goal is to grow it as rapidly as possible, making sure that we're always writing economic business. In terms of its combined ratio, which is just the current measure of profitability, I get less concerned about the combined ratio if it relates to advertising, because that's investing in the future, than I do with the loss ratio. The loss ratio was a little high last year. We're bringing that down. I feel like it's in good place. We raised prices about 6% in the last year versus, call it, 2% in the Allstate brand. So that should improve the profitability of that business. Right now it's already economic. What it'll do is make it higher return business. So I think we're going to keep growing that business, keep trying to take – we're clearly taking share in that segment. If you're growing at 20%, you're picking up share in that segment. We expect to continue to grow share. And we got a long way to grow because there's not really – there's only two really big competitors here. There's a whole bunch of small people.
Hey, Tom, so a couple of questions. One, what's your overall ROE target for the firm? And two, related to that, how do you allocate capital and like marginal investments between the buckets? And I wonder the third, which isn't really meant to complicate it, but sort of your point on Esurance, I wonder if you could just take just a moment more, help people understand what kind of combined ratio they should look for. Because at this point in the growth phase, the numbers are always very large. I think a common question I get, and I think it's implicit in some of these questions, is, how do we know you're not over-investing in Esurance, or what's the right way to think about that, for the firm?
First, in terms of overall ROE targets, in 2011, we were at about a 9% return because the homeowner business was not making enough money. And we said we'll get to 13% by 2014. Last year we were at 14.5%. That was a little high because cats were lower last year than normally, but we still think we know we achieved our 13% goal a year early. And so 13% is a place we can run the business in total and grow it And in some years, we'll be higher. Like last year, we were at 14.5%. Some years will be maybe lower if there's a huge amount of cats. But in general, we think we can run in that 13% range and grow the business quite aggressively. In terms of how we allocate capital, I don't have any favorites. Everybody competes on their own. They compete on both the return on capital and growth. Right now, we are long capital. We're generating, if you bought our stock last year, if you owned our entire company, anytime at the last 3 years, you would have gotten a 9% cash return plus the value of the business has gone up. So that means if you add up our dividends and the amount of share repurchases we do, so we're long capital, so we don't really have capital constraints as long as people are earning above the return we want. So our challenge right now is to deploy that capital in growing the business because that'll move the book value and price earnings multiples up. As it relates to Esurance and its profitability, look at the loss ratio. So I would ignore the combined ratio for the time being. Look at just the loss ratio. That should be in the low 70s. It was in the mid-70s last year, I think 76. We think it needs to come down into the low 70s. If you can run a low 70s combined ratio in a direct business with a cost thing on a going-forward basis in the sort of 20% range, you can make 10 points on it, and it's a really good return on capital. So I would look at the loss ratio. It's a little high last year. You should test us and evaluate us on the total combined ratio. So the combined ratio last quarter was 124 when you exclude sort of amortization of stuff, but a large portion of that was advertising expense. So you should feel free to push on us and say, are you really getting the right return and the right growth on that? And I would say based on what we spent last quarter, the advertising wasn't as effective in driving growth in the first quarter as it was all throughout 2013. But in part that's because we launched this new campaign and we put more money in just so people would see that we say 7.5 minutes is the new 15. So we did it on purpose, so over time you should expect that the advertising expense ratio will come down as we both grow and we don't have to put more money into new branding campaign.
That's great, Tom. A couple of questions from folks related to basically the investing environment, the question about how the low interest rates have affected your life insurance business, as well as just generally the insurance business, and you specifically identify proactively managing your investments. The question is, what have you done differently? What are you doing differently now than you did in the past, and sort of where are you, and what areas are you taking on more risk?
Okay, it's a really good question because oftentimes people just focus on the underwriting side of the business, but obviously we have an $82 billion portfolio. And like you, we're always trying to make sure we invest that well, and that's a large portion of the value creation we have for shareholders. So I'm going to go back to 2007, and I'll quickly get you up to 2014, but I think the story will help you understand how it's done. So most insurance companies in the early part of the 2000s were buy and hold. Think of them as a warehouse, put stuff in the warehouse, hold it, get a prepayment penalty, hope they don't pay you back. We got long liabilities. You don't have to trade through that. In 2007, we got a little nervous about the market. We thought it was getting a little toppy, so we started selling. We had $25 billion of real estate at the time, had $26 billion of munis, and we started selling down some of the CMBS and stuff of that. Now, I wish we had sold it all. We didn't, so we took some losses on it, but we began to get more proactive from an asset allocation standpoint. So as we moved throughout the 2009-10 period, we reduced real estate, we reduced municipal bonds, and we increased our corporate credit exposure because we thought that the credit spreads had just gotten so wide that there was no way it wasn't going to be a good investment. And that turned out to be true. So we moved from sort of buy and hold to more proactive, but proactive in what I would call macro market trends, right? So credit spreads were, we didn't buy a lot of junk, but when junk bonds were 1,500 basis points over, really you got to think like that's got to, long term it's probably going to be a good deal unless the world melts down. So we went long corporate credit. That really worked out for us. and move this into a more proactive asset allocation perspective in our portfolio. As we moved into 2011-2012, we felt like rates were getting pretty low. So in 2012, we reduced our interest rate exposure, not because we're trying to trade on bonds, but we just didn't think it was a good risk-return trade-off. That cost us triple-digit millions in operating income. We did it on purpose. We told our shareholders about it, and we said, look, we just don't think it's a good trade. So if, you know, so rather than some companies get hooked on operating income and they won't make the trade, they'll keep the risk because they think you as shareholders are only looking at operating income. We tend to believe people are incredibly intelligent, and if we explain it to them, they'll listen to us and they'll either buy or not buy. But that, so we shortened the duration of our portfolio. As we moved into 2012 and 2013, we said, you know what? We went from buy and hold to more proactive, but really more macro calls, right? So when you're calling, when you're just saying interest rates are at a 30-year low, you don't have to be a genius to figure out at some point they might go up. If you think credit spreads are at an incredibly high point, you don't have to be a genius to figure that out. We said, well, we don't think those opportunities are going to exist as much in the future, so we have to find a different way to invest. So we're really moving from beta investing to idiosyncratic investing. And so we're taking our portfolio and we've broken it into four categories. The first is what we call core market. We just need to generate a lot of cash, a lot of income from a very stable fixed income, high quality portfolio, and we'll probably reduce our corporate credit risk spread a little bit as a result of that. Then there'll be a little bit of equities in there, but index, not trying to do anything fancy, just core. That'll be the large part of our portfolio. We have three other parts. One is market-based active. Second is performance-based intermediate. Third is performance-based long-term. Those three categories are more idiosyncratic in terms of investing. So we'll be decide. So we invested in some timber 18 months ago. We made a bunch of money out. That was in performance-based long-term. We may sell that now because we just think we got a good return on it, but thinking about, so we've built out new capabilities to invest in. So what we've really done is broadened and enhanced our capabilities to invest in what is a basically a low return environment because there's just not much growth in the world. I mean, if there's not a lot of economic growth in the world, it's hard to think your investment should be worth a lot more. So you should do something differently to do that. We believe this balances out our risk, gives us a better risk profile, actually lowers overall portfolio risk, and should enable us to have higher returns.
That's great. So we had a question on homeowners, and I'll combine it with one of mine, which is, so we've talked about why homeowners have been shrinking. It was a challenging business for many, many years, higher volatility, and used to be that, not blaming you guys, but generally the industry didn't price very much for home. Pricing's up a lot. You've tightened terms and conditions, and now reinsurance is dramatically cheaper than it was even a couple of years ago. The question, I think, is homeowners becoming a good business, and is this something you guys, I mean, you're obviously writing a little bit more. You're going to advertise it. You're going to add it to eSurance. You know, is this potentially a much more important sort of part of the growth engine at Allstate?
Homeowners is a good business for Allstate. I believe it can be a good business for Allstate and that we can grow it more aggressively. That's the summary of it. Let me take you through what I mean by that. So first, as an industry, homeowners is still not a good business. So the return in the homeowners industry is not as good as it should be. So when we look at the homeowners business, we look at market share. We also look at share of profits. So sometimes when people start talking about your share, I'm like, well, share of what, you know? Share of revenues or share of profit. You know, like I think you'd probably like us to have a bigger share of profit. And so now you got to get revenues to do that. So we do believe we can start to grow homeowners. And what we've tried to do with the homeowners business is make it consistently profitable and long-term attractive. So as opposed to occasionally profitable and long-term unattractive, which is what it used to be. So if you go all the way back to 2005, so I looked at the homeowner business in 2005 and we had four hurricanes in Florida. In 2004 we had Hurricane Katrina. I said, maybe it's just a crappy business. We should get out. You know, like if you really can't, if you can't predict it, you can't price it, you can't price it, you shouldn't sell it. And We looked at the business and we broke its losses into three categories. One, normal slip falls, fires, garage fires, driving through the garage, front your garage door, broken windows. Two, severe weather, so hail, storms, straight line wind. Three, major catastrophes. We said the third one, hurricanes and earthquakes, we don't think you can predict those, so we don't think we should try to sell them. So we basically divested that by using reinsurance. So we went from buying very little reinsurance in the middle of the 2000s to being probably one of the biggest domestic, certainly the biggest domestic buyer, maybe the biggest in the world, buyer of reinsurance, and we divested that risk. We said, but we think we can make money on the other two. We were right on the first. We were wrong on severe weather. So severe weather was really light in 2006, 2007. We're making pretty good money. We're feeling good about stuff. In 2008 through 2012, our costs on severe weather went up by about $1.5 billion a year on a $6 billion a year premium business. So it went from being what felt like a good business to being a crappy business. So we had to do a whole bunch of things to fix that, including raising prices by about 30%, getting rid of a couple million exposures and brokering those to other people, changing our policy, changing our underwriting practices, changing our pricing models. We've done all that. And what we've done is really tried to take a business from which made money in a couple of good years, like 2006 and 2007, that got killed in 2004 and 2005, to a business that in some years makes really good money and in other years makes good money. So this winter, in the first quarter, we had a combined ratio of 87, despite the fact there was a lot of severe winter weather. There may be years when we have a combined ratio in the 90s. What we're hoping is that that'll be offset by years when we have a combined ratio in the low 80s, like last year, where we made $1.5 billion of underwriting profit. So we've taken a business which was not in a good industry and repositioned it to be a profitable opportunity for us by doing all those things. We now are in a position to be able to grow that business. There's much less competition in that business. So the only big players in that business are State Farm and some of the other mutuals. You look at Geico and Progressive, they're not in that business at all. You'll see them advertise it, but they're not selling their product, which means they're not making much money on it, right? So you cannot afford to run TV commercials selling homeowners insurance where somebody else gets the underwriting profit. There's not enough margin in the distribution of it. So we believe that we can expand it in the Allstate agency channel and in the Esurance channel. Most people, when they look at our auto growth over the last 5 years, I think underestimate how much a hit we took because we got smaller in homeowners. So when you're bundling products, and I call you and say, hey, Josh, here's good news. I'm still going to sell you auto insurance. The bad news is I'm not going to sell you homeowners insurance anymore. Sometimes you don't like that, and you shop around. So now that we're back in that business, it helps us retain customers. It's also a good source of new business because when people buy houses, that's a shopping moment for them. They're going to buy insurance, and so it's much easier to tack on auto insurance to a new homeowner policy, particularly when there's not as much competition in selling homeowners. So I think homeowners is going to go from a competitive and shareholder drag force to a source of competitive advantage.
No, that's great, Tom. So I can't let you get away without asking, and I promised I wasn't going to ask a question about self-driving cars or anything, but I do want to ask about telematics. You mentioned it. A lot of your folks, Esurance and Allstate, sort of go to these industry conferences, talk about the sort of exciting things you're working on. Obviously it's a big story at Progressive. It's something you guys have been in front of as well. I'd love to get your thoughts on, compare and contrast a little bit the different approaches you see in the market, as well as just fundamentally sort of give people a sense of why this is important and what you think the Allstate answer is to the opportunity.
Okay. So telematics is where your car has become a cell phone on wheels, and it's connected to the world, and we can tell how you're driving. So there are, in our model, there are three ways that that's of value. Not everybody is embracing our model, though. The first is pricing. So as you know, when we're pricing auto insurance, we're making an estimate as to what your losses will be. We do that based on your driving record and what kind of car you drive and how many miles you drive, which is accurate and gotten much better. When we put credit in place, I don't know, a decade or so ago, maybe longer than a decade ago, that gave us even better ability to get more pricing accuracy. And as a result of that, you've seen much greater stability in the auto insurance business in terms of its profitability and our margins. So if you look at our margins in the auto business for the last 10 years, incredibly consistent because we've been really good at pricing while we're controlling costs. The ability to know how you actually drive your car is as powerful as credit. And with another factor. So we are aggressively using that information to give people better, more accurate prices. And that's working. Now, some people ask about, well, you know, people don't want Big Brother. They don't want you watching over them. That is true, except when you offer them 10 to 30% off on their auto insurance, they hit the bid automatically and say, yeah, it's fine. If I can save 30%, you can know how I drive. And so that is done very well. We're having good acceptance, and we're moving forward on that. And that's the way most people are playing the business, which is to look at it from a pricing standpoint. We believe there are two other ways we can leverage telematics. One is to make the driving experience better for you, and secondly is to utilize the data that's generated on behalf of our customers. You can decide what that is used for, but there's two other levers to it. Not everybody's model includes that. So our model is a little more expensive because it's a little more hardware intensive, at least today, although we're testing a cell phone application in a couple of states right now. And it requires a little more communication cost. But if we can make the driving experience better, we think that will increase customer retention and increase the value that comes with insurance. Lots of ways you can think about making the driving experience better, but we think we're everybody's trying to get into the car. So I believe not only will there be competition from other insurance companies here, there are plenty of other people who want to get in the car because there's 4 to 5 hours a week that people want access to that. As insurance companies, we're one of the few people who can get into the car and give people value for doing that because we can leverage that pricing advantage. All the other people who want to get into the car, you have to pay them. So whether it's Zuby or Automatic or the other new players out there, you have to pay them $99 for the advice and pay them per month for the service. In our particular case, I can just give you a smaller price discount but still give you a discount. So by signing up, not only are you getting more value and a better driving experience, you're saving money on your insurance. So we think insurance companies have an advantage today. We'll see whether it's an advantage which lasts forever, but we're investing quite aggressively in it. I know there's some industry stuff out there talking about you should have one or two people doing it. I will tell you we're investing tens of millions of dollars in telematics. And it's growing quite rapidly. In fact, we've quit identifying how many customers we have and the miles we're getting accumulating on it because we think it's a competitive advantage. We don't want everybody to know how fast it's grown. So a lot of potential there. So if you're looking at auto insurance, which is why you see the broadening of the brand. So why are we broadening the brand? We're broadening the brand because we think the Allstate brand can make your driving experience better, which means you can make more money, which means you'll pay us more, which gets back to that don't want to be a commodity. So four squares, a lot of growth potential to go.
Okay. Thank you, Tom.
Thank you.
Thank you, Steve.